Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs. We just have one Sunday night here, and then I'm going to be preaching mostly in the mornings in the summer, so I didn't want to just do a little piece of 2 Thessalonians here, so I was looking for a topic that would kind of stand alone for this evening, and was looking at some of the lessons I've done before in Proverbs, and this I thought would be really good. Humility versus pride, this is something that I need to always be thinking about, and so chose this as my topic, and it was a poor decision. If everyone around you knows that you're planning to preach on humility versus pride, see, that can work against you. Yesterday morning we went fishing. Some of us were there at Hillview fishing and, right, you know, having lots of fun fishing. And then we came home from fishing in the evening. I don't know, we're eating ice cream or something. And Trevor rented a canoe there at Hillview. And so kids were canoeing around the lake, and it was really fun. And so I was telling the kids, well, you know, I go to the Boundary Waters every year now, and we spend hours on the canoe, and I'm really good at canoeing, and it doesn't matter if the wind's blowing or anything. And Luke says, well, boy, you're pretty much a professional canoeer. I said, well, yeah, I mean, if I were a little bit stronger, I'd be right up there with the pros. And as I'm waxing eloquent on my canoeing skills, my wife said, now, what's your topic again tomorrow? So, okay, here's what I want to start today. Just for fun, with the person that's sitting next to you, take a stab at giving a definition of pride, right? We know that pride's bad, but just to the next person next to you, what is pride? I was going to say, if somebody has a definition they're really proud of, yell it out, but we don't want to do that. Here's one definition. These proverbs, this listing of proverbs and the kind of general thought lines came from Stuart Scott, the chapter that he has on humility versus pride in his book, The Exemplary Husband. One of the things he says when he's talking about pride, a proud person is a person who thinks that life is all about himself. He thinks that life is all about himself, his happiness, his accomplishments, and his worth. Really, we all have pride, Stuart Scott says, each and every one of us. The question is not, do I have it, but where is it and how much of it do I have? And our pride can show up in different ways. One way, and this is the way you would think of first, one way that our pride can show up is if just I'm thinking that I'm the greatest and I'm letting you know that I'm the greatest. That would be pride. But pride can show up in different ways, too, because if pride is just thinking that life is all about me, from a biblical perspective, if I'm walking around always in self-pity and always shaking my head and thinking that I'm a failure because I have these great expectations for myself and I don't reach them, and so woe is me, I'm miserable because of my failure. Well, that's pride too. I'm still just as much centered on myself, whether I think I'm meeting my standards or whether I think I'm not meeting them. So whether I think I'm the greatest or I think I'm the loser, it's pride. It's all about me. Well, you say, well, what would be the right way to look at life? If life isn't all about me, who is life really all about? Well, life really is all about the Creator. It's about God, our Savior. A humble person is a person who lives as if this is true. A humble person thinks life is all about God, number two on your sheets. And if I live with that in mind, that life really is not about me, but it's about God, then that, boy, that's a better way to live, right? If I think that life is all about His happiness, His accomplishments, and His worth, if I expect great things from God and not from myself, how much more freeing it can be, right? I mean, if life is all about God, and that's what I'm pursuing, is His greatness, then I can succeed or I can fail. I can do well or I cannot do well. I mean, it doesn't really matter because it's His glory that I'm pursuing more than anything else. And if I know that life is all about Him and He loves me, then I'm going to be okay. So what we want to do today, we want to look at some proverbs on pride. And these aren't all of these proverbs don't use the word pride, but I think we'll see that in all of these different unwise ways of living, pride plays a part. First, why should we not be proud? But what does Proverbs say about why pride is a bad idea? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. First reason why you should not be proud, live as if life is all about you. The first reason is this: God hates pride. God hates pride. Look at Proverbs 6:16. There are six things which the Lord hates, yea, seven which are an abomination to him. I was reading a commentary this week, and the Hebrew scholar that was writing it said that in the original language, the S sound is repeated throughout verse 16 and 17 as this list of things that the Lord hates. And so it's almost like even as you speak it, there's booing and hissing, right? There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Seven characteristics that the Lord hates. Haughty eyes come first. Why is it that haughty eyes come first in this listing of things the Lord hates? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is that if you notice, they're arranged from the top of the person on down. So we start in verse 17. There's haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil. But I think there's another reason why haughty eyes come first. And that would be that God hates pride most. What sin is there that is most opposite of what God desires of us as his people? You can make an argument that pride would be that sin. What does Proverbs teach? What's the point of Proverbs? Well, we ought to live in wisdom, which starts with the fear of God. Well, what's opposite of the fear of God and wisdom? Well, it's pride. Because I'm putting myself into the place that he deserves. Why should we not be proud? Well, God hates pride, maybe more than anything else. Number two, the second reason why you should not be proud: pride will lead to your destruction. Pride will lead to your destruction. Look over at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. In the original Hebrew, there's no verb in verse 18. The word goes isn't there. The original is more poetic. It reads like this: before destruction, pride, and before stumbling, a haughty spirit. The word haughty here is a word that means high. The proud man holds himself high. He holds himself above other people. He holds himself above the words of God. And that height leads to his shattering. Here's this man. He's walking along the road. He's holding himself up so high that he doesn't see where he's going. He trips. He falls. He shatters his bones along the way. In contrast, look at the righteous man in verse 17. We looked at Proverbs 16:18. Look back to verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. See the contrast. The upright, as he goes along his way, he's careful to watch where he's going so that he doesn't trip and fall, and so he preserves his life, as opposed to the proud man who's holding himself so high that he doesn't watch, he trips, he falls, and he shatters himself. Look over at Proverbs 18, verse 12. Proverbs 18, 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. Again, it's poetic in the original. Before destruction, haughty is the heart of man, but before honor, humility. So you can determine the end result of a person's life by testing him in this one attitude. Is the man lifted up and proud? Then coming soon for him is destruction. Is he humble? Well, around the corner for this man is honor. Where will a lofty spirit get you? It will get you destroyed. One of Shakespeare's characters realized this a little too late. I want to read you the words of Wolsey. This Wolsey's comparing himself to a naughty little boy who floated out too deep on an inner tube that eventually popped. Listen to his words. I have ventured, like little wanton boys that swim on bladders, this many summers in a sea of glory, but far beyond my depth. My high-blown pride at length broke under me, and now has left me weary and old with service to the mercy of a rude stream that must forever hide me. How to recognize pride in yourself. That's what we want to do here. The problem with pride is that my own pride blinds me to my pride. One of the hardest things to turn away from is pride, is because I don't even see it in myself. For a child of God, pride just comes so naturally to me. I ought to regularly be having this conversation with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I just acted out of pride. I'm putting myself at the center of the world, and that's not right. And you are my God. I confess that. I want to walk in humility. Lord, will you forgive me and help me to come back into the right way? That ought to be a conversation I'm having with the Lord regularly as a Christian. In fact, one of the Greek words for pride that we find in the Bible carries the idea blind. In 1 Timothy 6:4, that word there for conceited, it has to do with being deceived about the reality concerning yourself. As if you're walking through a cloud, you're walking through a vapor, you can't see, you're conceited, and so you don't even know that you're proud. Our pride blinds us to our pride. And so what we want to do today, we just want to walk through Proverbs and see the kinds of things that pride does. And my prayer is that as we walk through this, that God will reveal the pride that is there in our hearts so that we can repent of it. I know I need to do that. As I was going through this week, many of these things describe me. Right? And so as we walk through Proverbs, here's 13. You know you're proud if, so that we can turn from them and walk in pleasing humility to God. Okay, so we'll jump into the list. You know you're proud if, number one, you talk too much. You know you're proud if you talk too much. Go to Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, 19 says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Clearly, if pride is thinking that life is all about you, I mean, if I think that life is all about me, then obviously I am the one who should be talking, because I'm the one that has something valuable to say, and you should all be listening to me. Life is about me, right? And that's the attitude that I have if I'm talking too much. That's why I'm going to sin very quickly. You know you're proud if you talk too much. You know you're proud if you cannot keep a secret. You know you're proud if you cannot keep a secret. Go to Proverbs 11, 13. Proverbs 11, 13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. There's something about knowing secrets, having inside information, and then sharing that inside information with people that makes me feel like I'm powerful. Right, I have this inside information, and I'm going to let you in on it. And so that kind of makes me feel like I'm doing well, especially if the inside information I'm sharing is about this other person that is obviously below us, right? Because they're failing in this way. Then pride is what leads to gossip. The pride is what leads me to be not keeping a secret. The best thing usually to do with a secret is to keep it. He who is trustworthy conceals a matter. Thirdly, you know you're proud if you get upset when you are criticized. You know you're proud if you get upset when you are criticized. Look at Proverbs 12:1. Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. I remember the night one of my kids came up, they were reading their Bibles before bed, and they said, "Dad, the word stupid is in the Bible." And I said, "Well, yeah, it's in there. This word stupid here, Proverbs 12:1, is describing the Hebrew word. It describes the person who does not have the rationality that's supposed to separate humans from animals. One key advantage that we have as humans, that we should have as humans, if we're operating correctly, we can talk to one another and listen to each other. An animal doesn't have that level of communication that we have. And so, for us, we have the ability to be able to listen to words of correction. So if I'm doing something wrong and you come and correct me, I have the ability to listen to you. But often, instead of listening, I'm stupid like an animal and I keep on going. I'm not going to listen unless maybe you beat me, right? That's the way that an animal is. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. How about I read this verse? So the right attitude is to love discipline. Do you love discipline? Do I think when someone comes and corrects me for something that I've done wrong, do I think, oh, what a great opportunity this is for me to learn and grow? I mean, is that my first reaction? It's not. It is not my first reaction. And so that shows me how far away I am from true humility and saying life is about God. It's not about me. I pray that Lord will move me that way so that sometime I might surprise myself to actually be happy with correction. You know you're proud if you are upset when you get criticized. You know that you're proud if you pretend to be something you are not. You know you're proud if you pretend to be something you're not. Proverbs 13, verse 7. There is one who pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, but has great wealth. There are those who pretend to be rich when they have nothing. There are those who pretend to be wise, though they are fools. There are those who pretend to be godly and spiritual, though they're not walking with the Lord. This is what pride does. Pride pretends. Greed also pretends. I think that's what's going on in the second half of the verse there, right? The first part of the verse we get. There's one who pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. So here's a poor man pretending that he really is something. The second half of the verse, and why would you pretend to be poor if you have great wealth? Well, maybe if it's obvious that you have great wealth, then people are going to expect you to share with them, right? And so here's this rich man who wants to keep his money. And so he pretends to be poor so that he does not have to be generous. There are many who have pretended to be poor when filling out their taxes, right? There are many who are pretending to be poor, though they have great wealth. So what should we do? Instead of pretending, the kind of pretending that comes from pride or comes from greed, look back to verse 5. There's a contrast here. Proverbs 13, we read verse 7. Back up to verse 5. A righteous man hates falsehood, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. So a righteous man hates falsehood. He doesn't pretend to be anything other than what he is. The one who is pretending in the Lord's eyes, that man is acting disgustingly and shamefully. You know you're proud if you pretend to be something you're not. You know you're proud if you do not have close friends. You know you're proud if you do not have close friends. Turn over to Proverbs 18, verse 1. Proverbs 18, 1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Pride leads to separation. Pride leads to distance in relationships. Right? Because if I'm proud, I'm pretending to be something that I'm not. And from a distance, I'm a better pretender than I am up close. Right? And so if I get too close to you, you're going to see that all of this is pretension and it's not real. So for me to be able to maintain my reputation, I need to stand up here while you guys all sit out there. Right? This is what he's saying. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. What's my desire? I want to have a good reputation. I want to look good in the eyes of other people. Whatever it is that I'm pursuing selfishness, and I'm doing that by distancing myself from you. This happens in marriages. It happens in homes. It happens between teenagers and their parents. Pride leads to this separation, right? I'm not willing to go to this person and admit all of my weaknesses and failures, and so there's this distance. But really, is this bringing joy to me? This separating of myself to my own desires, it's not bringing joy. It's bringing separation. If I were willing to admit all of my faults, then maybe the other person would be too, and we could be close. We could forgive one another. We could have a loving relationship. You know you're proud if you do not have close friends. You also know that you're proud if you are a poor listener. Number six, you know that you're proud if you're a poor listener. Look to the next verse, Proverbs 18:2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. This proverb warns against having a closed mind and an open mouth. Ironically here, the proud person is so intent on speaking his own mind. Actually, that person has very little to say. He just wants to spill out what's inside of him, but there's really not that much inside of him that's worth saying. It would be better if he would stop up that mouth of his. The word there for the fool delights in revealing his own mind, that word revealing has a negative connotation. The idea is he is exposing his own mind. The only other place where this word revealing is used in the Old Testament is in Genesis, when drunken Noah indecently exposed himself to his family. The proud person who wants to speak and not listen, as he is speaking, really all that he's doing is exposing all of the sinful ugliness that is inside of him. You know that you're proud if you're a poor listener, if you just want to let everyone know what's inside. You know that you're proud if you are slow to forgive. You know you're proud if you're slow to forgive. Proverbs 18:19. 18:19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a citadel. So the saying is, sometimes if you make your friend angry with you, it might be easier to attack and conquer a walled city than to be able to restore that relationship that is now broken. Have you ever had a relationship with someone like that where there's an offense? Somehow you had a relationship, but it's broken now. And now to be able to get back to the way it was before this offense, it feels like, boy, I just as well be attacking a city with a wall. It's so hard. We should turn it around, though, right? Am I that person that is so hard to make up with? Am I like a strong city? If someone has offended me and they're coming for forgiveness and I've got this wall that I put up. Listen, it should never be difficult to receive forgiveness from a Christian. It should never be difficult to receive forgiveness for a Christian, because that Christian has already received way more forgiveness than they could ever deserve. People coming to us for forgiveness should find, instead of walls, they should find welcome mats and outstretched arms. Think of the parable of the prodigal son, right? In the parable of the prodigal son, the father is the offended one and we're the prodigal. And what does the father do when we are coming back to him, when we're coming to the Father? He sees the sinner on the road. He runs to meet him and embraces him and takes him back into the family. But now, if someone offends us and we are in the position of the Father, what will we do? The person's coming to my door to knock on the door and ask for forgiveness. Do I hide inside the house? I'm not going to answer the door. They're going to have to stay out there and keep knocking. Or do I fling that door open and meet them in the driveway? Give them a hug as they're coming. That's the idea here. If I'm proud, I'm slow to forgive. If I realize who I am as a Christian, I ought to just fling forgiveness around so freely because of what I've been given. You know you're proud if you're slow to forgive. You know you're proud if you are harsh with others. You know you're proud if you're harsh with others. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 23. The poor man utters supplications, but the rich man answers roughly. The poor man utters supplications, but the rich man answers roughly. There's another old Jewish proverb that says, in order to chase away beggars, one needs a rich person. The picture in verse 23, there's this poor man. He's coming to the rich man. He's pleading with him for help. The rich man has the ability to help the poor man. And so he comes and he's asking him for it. But the rich man, he's worked hard to build up this wealth. And he's not just going to be giving it away to people who don't deserve it. And so he is hard. He answers him roughly. That word roughly there, it means strongly, powerfully, mightily. The rich man, as someone comes to him, he speaks harshly, he's unyielding, he's fierce. This word rough, for the way that the rich man speaks to the poor man, it's used in other places in the Old Testament. It's used in the curses of Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, God warned the Jews that if they didn't keep his law, that he would send a nation from afar, a nation of fierce countenance. That's our word, of rough countenance, who will have no respect for the old nor show favor to the young. This word for rough is used in Daniel 8 to describe Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. There it describes him as insolent. It's a hardness. Do you find yourself treating others harshly? Are you harsh with your children? Are you harsh with your spouse? Are you harsh with your employees? Where does harshness come from? Harshness comes from pride. Number 9, you know that you're proud if you are unteachable. You know you're proud if you're unteachable. Look at verse 20 of chapter 19, Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. You cannot be both wise and proud. You cannot be both wise and proud, because the way to wisdom is listening to counsel. You see that in the verse there? Listen to counsel that you may be wise the rest of your days. But if I'm proud, I don't think you have anything valuable to say to me. And so you can give me counsel all day. I'm not going to listen. I'm proud. I think I know better than you do. And because of my pride, I cut myself off from counsel. Whether it's your counsel to me, the counsel of the Word of God. I know better. I'm not going to listen. And so pride cuts me off from wisdom. You know you're proud if you're unteachable. You know you're proud if you do not follow through on your words. You know you're proud if you do not follow through on your words. Look at Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 14. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. Picture here, the land is cracking. The land is in drought. Everything's drying out. You know, the plants are turning brown and wilting. We've got this new bush that we planted, the hydrangea. No, that's not what it is. It's a rhododendron. Anyway, this thing needs water like every day. If it starts to get a little bit dry, it just wilts. Well, I was just here 2 hours ago and the thing was fine. I got to give it more water. So here's what's happening. There's drought. Everything needs rain. I mean, think of yourself. Some of you are farmers. How much do we need the rain? We have to have it for the crops to grow. And the picture is that everything's drooping. We know we need the rain if we're going to save the crops. And then comes the thunderstorm. And the thunder cracks and the clouds are coming. Did you guys see that cloud as it came through on Saturday? That was amazing. That cloud, we were standing we were out at the pit walking around, and this cloud is blowing in. And with the cloud, there were like 20 vultures blowing in on the breeze. It was like totally dark and scary. So here comes the thunderstorm. But for a farmer, if I need crops, the cloud blowing in is good, because it's like with clouds come rain, right? And so you look for the clouds to produce something. Your crops are wilting, and this could be the chance to save them. But if that thunderstorm blows through and the wind blows and the lightning flashes and there's no rain, are you that thunderstorm? Are you quick to impress but slow to give? That's a sign of pride. Number 11, you know you're proud if you think of yourself as wise. You know that you're proud if you think of yourself as wise. We go to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, the first 11 verses, is a long description of the pitiful plight of a fool. You just scan through there. Honor is not fitting for a fool. A rod is made for the backs of fools. There's no good strategy for dealing with fools. You can rebuke him or you can ignore him. Neither one will work. Never send a message by a fool. A fool is as useless as the legs of a paralyzed man. If you give honor to a fool or if you give a job to a fool, all you're going to do is hurt everyone around. Fools are like dogs who come back and eat their own vomit. 11 verses of this. This passage is not holding out much hope for a fool, but there's one person who's even more hopeless than the fool. Proverbs 26, verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. If you've begun to think of yourself as wise, that is a dangerous and a harmful road to go down. If that thought is in your head, you need to humble yourself before God before it's too late for you. There's more hope for a fool than for the man who views himself as wise. You know that you're proud if you think of yourself as wise. You know that you're proud if you like to sing your own praises. You know you're proud if you like to sing your own praises. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Now, it's right to thank someone, to praise someone else if they do something well. It's even good if you receive praise, because then we can respond to that in a way that pleases God. They thank you for what you've done. They praise you. You can say, oh, thanks for that. And it really, it's God that's helping me to be able to do this. We can give God praise through that. But you maybe have noticed this too. Something I noticed. A lot of times, you know, I'm doing all these great things and people are slow to come to me with praise. I don't know. It must be an off day for all of you. And so what you can do, you can just prime the pump a little bit. You know, after doing all these wonderful things and you ought to be praising me, if I just kind of help you out and say, well, here's a couple of things that I've done lately that are pretty amazing. You know, you can kind of get things rolling. No. That's not what we should do, right? that's not what we should do. Anytime I do this, anytime I brag about my own accomplishments, I'm calling for you to praise me. I shouldn't be doing that. I should be calling for you to praise my God who has done even what I've done. He's accomplished through me. A humble person is not focused on himself. He doesn't need to be thanked or praised. If I'm truly humble, as long as God is receiving praise, I don't care if you see me or not. It's not about me. You know you're proud if you try to hide your sins and weaknesses. You know you're proud if you try to hide your sins and weaknesses. Go to Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Pride leads to hiding, doesn't it? To hiding one's mistakes. A proud person has to pretend before other people, even before God. I have to pretend that I don't have anything to confess. And so if I'm walking in pride, I am constantly seeking to deceive. Where the humble person can simply be honest and say, oh, Lord, I have sinned. I confess that to you. The humble person can go to his friend and say, oh, wife, I have sinned. I confess that to you. Right? And we can move on from there. I don't have to deceive and hide. This is an entertaining quote from Byron Yon's book that he wrote, What Every Man Wishes His Father Had Told Him. He talks about insecurity here. You can be insecure about things that are sinful or just about things that are neutral, but you want to hide them. Listen to this. Insecurity is the anxiety resulting from having to hide from other people what we know is true of ourselves. Insecurity, because it's often self-deprecating, can resemble meekness, but it's not. Ultimately, it is selfish and prideful. If I'm insecure, it forces others to play by your rules and tiptoe around your sensibilities. No true relationships can spring up. No honest conversations can ever take place. It's always about you. It's the constant elephant in the room. It's the truth about you hiding in the wide open. He continues, I had a friend in his early 50s who had worn a hairpiece his entire life. Like all hairpieces, it was obvious, always there taunting us. Hey, up here, look at me. I'm not real. Our conscience warns us, for the love of friendship, don't look at it. One day, he decided he'd had enough. It came up over cards, and I said, dude, who cares? Do what you're most comfortable with. Of course, I'm thinking to myself, ditch the rug, Holmes. The guy writing this is the pastor of the church, to get the right perspective on the story that's coming. So the following Sunday at church, he walked into the sanctuary with a shiny white head leading the way. It takes a certain amount of courage to do something like that, to put it out there that way. I walked right up to him without saying a word and kissed him right on his bald head, violating every man law in one fell swoop. And that was that. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Well, that guy's just hiding his bald head, right? But we hide things that are worse than that. And well, this verse is saying, look, don't do that. That's what pride does, is it hides things. It'd be better for us just to be open with one another so we can help one another. What comes from concealing your transgressions? Look at verse 14. We read Proverbs 28:13. Look down at the next verse. We'll start at 13 again. He who conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. What comes from hiding your transgressions? The more you hide, the more you pretend, the harder your heart gets, the less likely you are to ever come out and be open about this. And so the more that I'm unwilling to put my sins out in the open, the more that I'm unwilling to be real with my struggles, my heart gets hard, and I get closer and closer to calamity. Okay, so we looked at 13 ways that you know that you're proud. I wonder if you found any that match your life. I know I did, right? I have good news for you. The good news comes from 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This sin of pride is something that the Lord takes very seriously, and we ought to as well. And yet, whenever we run to our Lord confessing pride, he's quick to receive us, quick to help us, quick to redirect us. May he work in us that we might be humbled and he might receive all the praise. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that it just points out the things that are in our hearts. And we want you to be honored. We all recognize here that you are the one who deserves praise and we don't. But Lord, we just confess to you our quickness to hide, quickness to pretend, quickness to do all of these things that show the pride of our hearts. We want to turn from that. Will you be working in us that kind of humility that only really comes from the Holy Spirit living within? You might be praised, and we might be less. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.